Lord, thank you for your words, and Lord, I do ask that
sometimes,
help us understand them.
I pray that some people will go in and just start giving their advice, say, to a preacher.
That we might see the
My temptation
of God
is,
and
you write that on a 3x5 card,
and
I'll give it
to know how to apply them. In
that's
Jesus
my
name.
Amen. Temptation. I've never pulled
okay,
that
Acts 21
on.
21 through the rest
but,
of the.
Usually what I do,
a lot of reading or narrative,
I just ignore
not a whole lot of heavy doctrine coming through here.
You know, I'll consider it, and if it's not in line with what I believe the Lord wants,
but remember
I'll just ignore
the
walk on.
Acts
I don't say
of the
I agree, I don't say I disagree, I just say,
book
that's
from
an idea.
Peter to
that's
Paul
what you say when you see an ugly baby.
Israel
you don't say it's a pretty
church,
baby and lie. You just say, well, that's a baby, and you're not lying.
From
okay, and
the
so
Jews to the Gentiles.
They give you an idea. Just
and
say, well, that's
so
an idea.
That's the transition coming through there. Acts 15
you know,
is when
know,
they
I had one
pretty much got it figured out.
Gave me these ideas, and I don't.
But
think
it's
I
not done as far as totally done with
I
the
never
Jews,
got mad at her because her
totally
motive
blinded,
was
probably to help.
The one of the areas we are not to ignore.
It's just an
Romans
idea.
11.
Proverbs 20
and
verse 5 says, "Counsel in the heart of
the
man is like deep water, but a man
so
of understanding
takes
will
place
draw
at the
it
end
out."
Of Acts 28.
When
and
we get around
so
somebody that we know has
there
vast
yet,
experience,
so we're still seeing a little
pull
transition
pull that knowledge
through.
Out so you can
and
learn
Acts
from
21.
Them.
But often a man of knowledge is a man of few words.
Was warned.
Is that not true?
By
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words.
Not to go back to Jerusalem.
And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Often you get around somebody that has some vast knowledge, they don't say anything.
That shows us how we
so start
asking some questions
to
pull out what you need
to keep our mouth shut in most cases.
Okay, so back in Paul's situation,
people advice about
the disciples were obviously concerned for him.
We appreciate
it shows
that.
What these people
they've
did,
given their advice to Paul.
So we're
and we're
going to
read the rest of the story without Paul Harvey around,
Paul
and we're going to discover that he's not going to pay attention to advice.
Missionary
so what was their response?
They were mad at him. You didn't take my advice.
No, they just prayed with him and say the will of God.
At the third missionary journey,
and that's what we
he's
do.
Sailing across.
A lot of fussing going on in
churches
is,
comes down to
is needless because
and then heads into
okay.
Jerusalem.
If somebody tells me something and okay, I was doing wrong, and they get mad
Luke,
at me for doing wrong, now they've come done wrong
Luke
for getting mad at
that's
me.
Writing this out.
I'm
going to
answer for my wrongs. And they're going to now answer for their wrong.
If they would have just said,
after
we, Luke, Paul, whoever's with them,
were gotten from them.
Thank you very much.
And it launched. We came with a straight course
that he should not go up to Jerusalem.
Verse 5, and when he had accomplished those days, we departed
and
went our way. And from thence on,
they all brought us on our way with wives
and
children till we were out of the city and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed.
Notice they didn't say, Paul, you shouldn't go. No, no, no.
No, they just prayed with him.
Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left
hand. It's on his shoulders now.
And it was on the left side.
They kneeled down on the shore
into Syria. And landed
and
at
Tyre.
Taken our leave, one
was to
unlaid
her burden.
We took ship and they returned home again.
On there.
And
they
finding
were
praying disciples,
when they were
we tarried there
but
7 days.
That was between
days.
They
so
and
the
Lord.
Had already been working on some folks.
And when we had finished our course
and,
from Tyre, we came to
Paul
and Luke and
them
to cross
the path
the
brethren
and abode with them one day.
And so
and the next day we were, we that were of Paul's company
Lord.
Departed and came
and they
unto
said,
Caesarea.
Now
and we entered into the house of Philip the Evangelist.
Who said to Paul through
Philip the Evangelist,
the word evangelist occurs,
I think, three times in the scriptures.
Okay, now how is Paul supposed to know?
And
that?
I'm of the belief
that
I'm not going to be dogmatic on it, but
well,
I would dare say that an evangelist in the Bible
the
is more of what we
or,
would call a missionary.
You know, guys are under the Spirit, usually talk a lot. I don't know.
You know, I appreciate evangelists, but I just. You know,
and
I can't imagine
times,
the evangelist children hearing about the same 10 messages.
Advice, and
the
same
usual
jokes, behavior
and
is
the
if
same
I don't like
this,
the guy, I'm not
going
to listen to it.
When are those kids
if I like
really
them, I might
fed.
Listen to it. If an evangelist
but
just has
we
a few
got a
short
divorce,
message,
I had one evangelist
personalities in a matter when we
and he was one
words,
of these
and we got
one
of
those
words
and consider them
and
in light of
run
the
Lord.
What if the Lord would happen to have somebody you don't like?
Hey, if we get in second gear, you're lucky. And we're going to reject
and so he preached,
because of
and
that
we just
person.
Kind of sat there, looked at him, and he kind of implied,
so
"If you don't get with
consider,
it, you know,
several years
back.
Ago,
and I just thought, well, okay, then we'll come back.
Before
okay.
the two churches, we had a little
well, he gave us
ministry,
one more chance,
so down
and he
exit,
came the next year. And both times was great.
Had a little
I
chapel,
enjoyed it. Preached the same message
TV
both
room,
times.
I
appreciated it. And Charles Hood, he asked me the second time around. He said, "Well, was it a blessing?" I said, "Yeah, it was a blessing. Same thing you preached last year."
Charles was an epileptic.
Really? I said, "Well, leftover pizza is still good.
He always sound drunk."
And he never came
he
back.
Very
sharp on the
Bible.
Bases. We
he
didn't
was
collar.
A
time
of Jehovah's
Witness
wanted.
Until he had a seizure. And then they
it was still
the cops
blessing me.
And said he was crazy and then put him in a
okay,
nut house for a while.
I just
course,
tend
he
to think
as
evangelist
as
kids here hearing the same thing over. I don't know about you. I get
he wrote him in and said, "No, the sheriff said I'm nuts, so I can't be on jury."
Passing
and so
two churches, you know, I told
that.
My kids, you know,
but Charles would
often
go
to in
there with me,
and a couple times he'd have
one.
A seizure.
And he'd be laying on the floor,
you know,
and I'd just
me all
preaching.
This time, you know.
You guys would be looking at me. I said, don't worry about him. He'll be okay.
I see.
And when I got done preaching,
I'm not saying that men are called as evangelists are wrong. I'm not saying that. God has a call.
Okay, but one time we were in there, and one of these truckers obviously was mad.
I've seen
long-term
benefits, but he was pretty mad
from Brother Sam's
and,
ministry.
And before I left, he said, "I want to tell you
and
something."
And he just
said,
doesn't
okay,
have 10.
Get ready for some criticism.
Buku sermons.
He says, "You."
Okay,
and
50%
so,
negative.
I see in the Bible,
I
do
said,
the work of
well,
an evangelist.
Thank you. I took it as a compliment.
It's more so like a missionary.
And he looked at me like
the
word missionary is
not
in the Bible.
So he said it again.
But
like
still,
I didn't hear
him
the first time. Sort of kind of see that.
Okay,
so verse 8, he said,
I said
which
well,
were one of the
I
seven abode with him,
compliment.
So he's one of the
I said,
deacons.
You are a truck driver, right? I said, you have
the
a
same man had four daughters,
truck, right?
Virgins,
does
which
have
did
a positive
prophesy. And a negative post, right?
Okay,
is that
so,
not 50%? So I had
four daughters,
and
thank you very
they
much.
Were out in the streets.
And he gave up after
witnessing,
that.
Witnessing, going
so,
to people's houses.
I get in the car, and
really,
I say, okay, Lord, what about that?
Doing a work for the Lord. Praise the Lord for that.
And the Lord just kind of said back,
okay, and
yeah,
as
what
we
about
tarried
that?
There many days,
well,
there came
helpful.
Down from
and
Judea
so,
a certain
the next
named
Sunday.
Agabus.
Now,
and
often the Lord will
here,
continue a conversation,
seller,
even
we
though we forget
see
it.
Him back
forget.
In chapter 11,
the next Sunday, I gave the same
50%
28,
and
usually what
is
I
where
did
is
God
if
officially
suffers, and usually it's anywhere
changes
to 12
from
max.
Jerusalem to Antioch.
If they had a Bible question,
we
just go with the question.
Shoot from the hip.
And those days came prophets
Ethiopian
from Jerusalem
story.
Unto
it's got
Antioch.
It's got Bible study,
so there's the
got
change of location officially.
NIV. It's always kind of fun
and
to
there
watch
stood
the
up
guys,
one of them named
you
know, Agabus
one.
And signified.
And so I did
by
the same
the
thing.
That there should be a great
head
of
question,
the
same
50%
mess.
So this is the same fella.
Negative.
Verse
10. Positive.
That came down from Judea, a certain prophet named Agabus.
What about that? And I said, yeah, what about that?
And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost.
The thing is you can consider people's
words. Now, man, that's Old Testament talk generally, thus saith the Lord. We can get a lot out of that. One, he's speaking under the inspiration of God. Two, the Holy Ghost is the Lord.
And I
as is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one name that applies to all three members of the Godhead.
And so in this context,
he is really laying out there, and Paul is still not
going to
take this
they
advice.
They were concerned for Paul. You appreciate
thus
the
Holy Ghost. So shall the
thank
Jews at Jerusalem bind the man
but,
that holdeth this girdle and shall deliver
to.
Him into
and
the hands of the
Gentiles.
He
has a different take on it.
So from Agabus' perspective
now,
was
wrong is
don't
his
go.
Burden given him preconceived
this is what's
going to
happen
ideas.
To you.
And from Paul's
so.
Perspective is praise the Lord,
there
I'm going to get out of here.
Following his burden
hopefully they
rather
stoned
than
me at the same
call.
Time.
His call was to
his
the Gentiles,
matter perspective
his burden was
looking
for the Jews. And any
okay,
of us
so
can have
a
prejudice
this is
a
second
or a preconceived
warning.
Idea, and it
and when
can
we heard these things, both
thinking.
We and they of the place besought him
and
not to go up to Jerusalem.
Things,
now
we
got a third
we
warning.
Overcome them, and in most cases we don't.
So all tell
okay,
please
so
don't
Paul
go,
had
don't
in
go,
his
don't
mind,
go, don't go.
I'm going to Jerusalem.
Okay,
and they're
and,
saying, well, it ain't going to fare
verse,
well for you. And in his mind, say, well, good,
then
I can
go to heaven.
What mean ye to
I
weep that
here.
You break mine heart?
And that's what his thinking is.
For I am ready not to
so
be
the thing
bound
is,
only,
is we
but also
can
to die at Jerusalem
for the
words.
Name of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, but what
you
is
see,
it?
Man, I'm ready
when
to go.
When does a person offer
he'd already seen
to
the
Rome.
Third heaven. And any of us have never have seen any of us if
unless
we
asked.
You know, went to heaven. And this kind of makes
do
you,
you like
wonder
it
about
when somebody comes up to you and gives you constructive
I went to heaven
criticism.
And I went to hell and
oh, isn't it a blessing?
I think you want to.
If you had a gun, you'd like to.
Where I don't know, but Paul's just got he's got some blinders or something going on. Okay, and man, the greatest Christian who ever lived. We're going to have to say that for him. Where a lot of us got blinders about things, and that's just how things go. And so what we do, if the Lord tells us to say something, we say it. If the Lord says, just pray about it, and I'll work on them, and sometimes they're just going to do it. And it's not a sin for him to go to Jerusalem. It's just going to be a little bit waste of time. But even in that process of wasting some time, God's still with him. And God's still using him. So verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, okay, persuading, that is the method for the New Testament. Okay, persuasion, the art of persuasion, using words to persuade people to believe something, to accept something. Okay, where in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as far as encouraging believers to serve the Lord, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So that's what the Lord has, the method the Lord has used for us in the New Testament. And even if you get your so-called message down perfectly, and it's so good that when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens, and if you all listen, it still doesn't mean a person's going to accept it. Some soul-winning techniques people have, they think that they can gimmick people to Christ. I remember, the gimmicks. You know, if you can't get them to do anything, just bow your head and start praying. And when you're praying, witness to them. You're not going to trick somebody to accept Jesus Christ. They have to accept him free of their own free accord. And I find it kind of interesting. The ones in the Bible, when they witness to somebody, they didn't draw the net. They didn't say, would you pray with me? Would you do this? No, that person is the one who made the response. Instead of us twisting their hand, putting their hand behind their back, and if you don't do this, and I'm going to, all that stuff. No, they just have to, of their free will, come to Christ. And so, the soul-winning techniques that a lot of them have nowadays, it's nothing but an insurance program, getting a guy to sign a dotted line. And we're the big heroes saving this soul from a big bad God who's going to throw them into hell. No, they're going to go to hell of their own accord. And God's the hero in the thing. But that's how things go. So, let's see. So what did they do? Verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased. Just leave it go. Just stop. Saying, the will of the Lord be done. And that's what we do. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. Okay, carriages, we might think that's a funny word, but that's carry-on luggage, carry-on baggage. Speak, Lord, the servant heareth. Verse 16, there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea and brought with them one, what is that, Manunson, whatever, of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And that's a blessing, an old disciple. It's a blessing to see older folks that stays faithful to the Lord. The churches nowadays, especially these contemporary ones, they want the youth, the youth, the youth. I would much rather hear a quiet old man preach the book just straight up and plain. I don't care if he's lost all his zeal, just as long as he's got a little gumption to him. Got a lot of wisdom. You get a lot of wisdom in that short amount of time than somebody running back and forth with all this zeal in the world. Just a quiet or just somebody that's been faithful to the task of God is a great blessing. The old disciples. Okay, and it says,
And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. So praise the Lord, he's dealing with the Gentiles, even though he's still wanting to get back to them Jews. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. Praise the Lord, good news. And said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. Now, what do they believe? And they are all zealous of the law. So, I don't know. They are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, to forsake Moses, meaning the customs, that's okay. That's the ceremonial aspect. Now, if they're saying to forsake Moses, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do no murder or stuff like that, thou shalt not steal, that's a different ballgame. Okay, the ceremonial, the civil, and the moral aspects of the law. Okay, and a lot of times people don't see that there are adjustments we need to make. And when we make adjustments, that doesn't mean we're dumping the whole thing. Okay, and there's adjustments to be made. Okay, on a farm, we have a planter, we got a cultivator. Okay, a cultivator is an implement that, you know, you got about that many inches to try to keep it from wiping out the corn, and you're coming between the rows, and you're using a big hoe to get the weeds out. Okay, and if the shovels are too far this way or one's too far this way, you got to make adjustments. Slide it over this way. Maybe tighten something down here. Now, when we make little adjustments, we're not rejecting the cultivator. We're making adjustments. And so we're making adjustments to the Mosaic covenant. We're not rejecting all of the covenant. We're saying the ceremonial aspect, obviously not. Okay, and the Sabbath is obviously between God and the Jews. But what some people do is they often overreact. Okay, and so they got to give people time to explain things. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto them. And the thing is, sit back and listen. I mean, if you go to a court setting and you hear the defense and the prosecuting, if you hear just one side of the coin, you're going to think, okay, well, that guy's guilty. And then the other guy gets up and says, oh, I never thought of that. Well, I never thought of that. Well, I never thought of that. When you hear both sides of the coin, you got to really reason the things out. And so God wants us to sit back and listen and get the whole picture before we draw a conclusion. These people are jumping to it. We're zealous of the law. Well, good, I'm happy for you. Okay, how about this and how about that? You need to consider this. Well, I never considered that. So the part that they're going to, shall we say, set aside are the customs. Verse 21. The customs. How about the clothing? How about no crossing of the seeds? You know, I always get a chuckle out of these young people at like Purdue or something. They go to the Deuteronomy and say, you don't follow the Bible. Have you ever considered that's written to Jews? I'm not a Jew. And they think they really got you over a barrel about something very difficult like that. They go into Deuteronomy 22, 23, and all those things, and talks about, you know, you can't have polyester and cotton in your Old Testament doctrine. You know, and the dietary laws, those things like that in the Old Testament. And so the customs is the key. If we go backwards to what Stephen brought up back in Acts chapter 6, verse 14, Acts 6:14. Here's what the ones that are jumping to conclusions saying in verse 13 have set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words
against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. See, not thou shalt not kill. You can't go out killing somebody. I mean, as far as the law goes. It's the customs that are changing. Okay, so that's 21, verse 22. It says, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. 23, do therefore this, that we may say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Them take and purify thyself with them. Purify, that's the customs. Old Testament customs. He's really not, he's wasting time following this stuff. But it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to work some of these old things of our religious background out of ourselves. It's hard to work that thing through. Okay, you got to give some time in those things. Them take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Well, it depends what part you're talking about. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded. Okay, this conclusion is the result of Acts 15. We have written and concluded, Acts 15, that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, idolatry, because unclean spirits draw to idols like magnets, so they're inviting unclean spirits, and from blood, drinking of blood, not just animals, but people. Behind the scenes, this stuff goes on. Many high political figures are still involved, always involved in this stuff. From blood and from strangled and from fornication. Those are the four that were mentioned in Acts 15. And all of those, idols, blood, strangled, fornication, maybe not strangled, but idols, blood, and fornication, all invite unclean spirits. And it gets a person infested. That's the behind the things spiritual aspect here. Now the blood aspect, you know, never been there, thank God. But Sneblin will tell you that drinking blood is more addictive than cocaine, which I don't know about that cocaine either, but and it's pretty bad and it sounds gross to the average person, but when these people get on their spirits, they are drawn to this stuff. So that's 25, 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, Jewish temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, Old Testament doctrine, customs, water of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Waste of time. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Now we're going to get some action. Okay, crying out, men of Israel, help, this is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people. Oh, that sounds familiar. That's an interesting study throughout the Bible. The people, dishonest Abe, we the people, Okay, yeah, they're always talking about the people and what their mindset is that the people are so dumb that they need us, the great leaders, to be their leader. You know, that's the mindset of Hillary and Bernie and the Republicrats. Oh, we're so fortunate to have these master, intelligent people to help us ignoramuses to be able to live. And they don't care for us. Okay, and neither do these Jews that are stirring up the people. They don't care for them. He says, crying out, men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people. All men, one guy, boy, he's pretty active. A little exaggeration going on here, but Paul is pretty active. And the law, and this place. And further brought Gentiles also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. Or brought Greeks into this place. Racial bigotry. You know, that's what's going on. More than, you know, all that stuff. And then in the parentheses, for they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together. Okay, the people. There's the people following the authorities without thinking. And the ones who are thinking just leave and say, eh, there they go again. And they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, Paul is probably saying, let's hope so. I'm out of here. And they went about to kill him. Tidings came unto the chief captain of the band. To all of Jerusalem was an uproar. No, it wasn't, just that area. Everybody else was just doing their thing. You know, a lot of times, oh, the world is, so-and-so died, the world is, well, no, they're not. 99% of the world didn't even know the guy existed. What's everybody else doing? They're just going to work just like everybody else. Oh, the world's excited, Denver won the football game. Who cares? The world don't even care. You know, they're, you know, people in Vietnam, they didn't know existed. You know, they're trying to make something bigger than it is. It's really, you know, oh, they had an earthquake down there. Yeah, we didn't know it, except for the news media told us. A lot of things going on throughout the world. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain. The whole city's in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul, assault and battery. Now, what should they do, the authorities? Arrest the ones beating him. But they're not going to do that. Because the Jews are in cahoots with the authorities. Okay, let's see, 33. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. What he had done. Just talking. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. Okay, that word certainty, that's a legal decree. That's the words that you use for an affidavit. It's a first-hand knowledge, a certainty of something. And you'll see this often thrown in the Bible. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was born of the soldiers, carried for the violence of the people. Who stirred up the people? The Jews back over there in verse 27. That's the instigators. And the instigators always get off scot-free. Why? Because they're in cahoots with the Roman authorities. For the multitude of the people followed after, crying away with them. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, canst thou speak Greek? Are not thou that Egyptian? So Paul must have, I don't know, he didn't look like a Jew all the way. Mistaken him for an Egyptian. And Paul will tell him, I'm a Jew. Are not thou that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar? Unless the guy didn't know what he looked like. It's all here he is again. And led us out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers. No, I'm not that guy. And Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Suffer me, put up with me. Let me say something. I'll talk to them. I'll speak for myself. I don't want an attorney. I'll talk for myself. Now, the word citizen there is similar, as in Ephesians 2, okay, but the deception that's being pushed on the American people is, are you a U.S. citizen? No, I'm not. Because that's a counterfeit. Okay, U.S. is a corporation. citizen of a corporation. It's a lower echelon thing. No, I'm a member of the original body politic. You know, it's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek. It's a deceptive thing that's used by political officials. In Paul's case, he was a free-born Jew. And he uses that back in Acts 16. So he knows Roman law. He knows it well enough to scare these guys, because when they violate the law, he calls them on the carpet. And he uses it for the benefit of the gospel, and that's what we should use it for. 40, and when he had given him license, okay, license is a term for, a license is a temporary approval of. A license is the approval to do something that normally is illegal. Okay, that's what a license is. It's paying a fee for something. It's fraud is what it is. But in this case, he's just saying, give me the permission. It's permission to speak. Okay? People say driving is a privilege. Yeah, that's true, but traveling is a right. And there's two separate things. Traveling is going from place to place in your conveyance, where you're not hiring anybody. Driving is hiring a motor vehicle for hire. That's a whole different thing. And it's terms that are used, okay? And it's used to trick people. But in this case, he's given him license, he's given him permission. Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with a hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, okay, and then the next chapter. Okay, so what was the language he spoke in? Hebrew. And what are we told that the famous originals were written in? In the New Testament? Greek. So if he spoke it in Hebrew, but it was written in Greek, what M that be? That's a translation. And it be inspired. And now we got it in English. So when you happen to deal with one of these guys saying translations aren't inspired, just bring that thought to mind. It's a great blessing. It's a great blessing. We got a perfect translation. Inspired of God. Okay, so that's chapter 21. I went a little longer than normal, but any questions or comments? Are we covered?